Good evening. Thanks for coming. My grandfather was a character. He looked like Omar Sharif and acted like Zorba the Greek. He had nicknames for everyone. This is called the fame of names. Grandpap had names for everyone. Since some of them were Arabic, we never knew what he was calling us. Diane was Zena, excuse me, and Greg was Zidane. We just accepted it and moved on. Lynn was Mary Alice, and since there had been a Hurricane Diane, my friend Diane was called Rainy Day. Nationalities fascinated him. And since he did not get people's names right, he called them by their nationality. My English Uncle Everson was Johnny Bull. My Russian mother was Uncle Joe in honor of Joseph Stalin. On his way out of the hospital, without an official discharge, he yelled to a nurse, "Hey, Korea, I'm leaving." No, it's fine. Thank you. There are different kinds of poverty. This is called absence. Sunlight streaks the pink marble table like the Acropolis at sunset. She eyes her Waterford Lismore glasses, spotless from lack of use, sitting on a white brocade sofa, draped by a white mink throw. She keeps company with Lennox vases and Yadro figurines. Nothing misplaced here. The carpet free of footprints. No clutter in the heart. We had to write a senryu, which is a three-stanza haiku for the Poetry Society, and it had to be organized around a single theme. And so I wrote mine based upon my visit to Istanbul. Boy robed in blue silk, holds a white feather and weeps, circumcised at noon. Scarf-clad girls rush past the blue mosque, hiding textbooks from hard-eyed clerics. In the spice market, tourists smell and plunge their hands into Istanbul. Thank you. This is called Missing Mom. Long gone are the days of completeness and light, when the air was charged with safe lightning, when a look said everything, when the morning was instructed to give me its best day. And this next poem was dedicated to my father, who taught me how to dance to "All I Have to Do Is Dream" by the Everly Brothers. He loved to dance, and he was good. And he would be the first one out on the dance floor and the last one back to his seat. "All I Have to Do Is Dream" for Louis Romanus. Dad did a mean monkey and a cool stroll. "Don't sit on the sidelines," he said. "Get out there and have fun." During his Latin American period, he did the rumba and the samba, even lunging at the tango at a Knights of Columbus dance. He kept his broad shoulders straight, but his backbone would slip like a Brazilian revelers at carnival. "They don't call me swivel hips for nothing," he said. At my wedding, he danced the polka and the electric slide before merging into the conga line. 12 years dead now, he comes back to me in song. His picture lights up the kitchen table. He smiles at me the way he did when he taught me how to dance to "All I Have to Do Is Dream" by the Everly Brothers. At his 50th anniversary celebration, he tried to do the Macarena. "Dad, you don't know how to do the Macarena." "I don't particularly care. What are they going to do, shoot me?" And this is dedicated to my husband, David, who lured me away from the single life at the tender young age of 43. It's called Beginnings. You were a half-submerged sun, insisting its way through the hesitance of dawn. Larks singing to a shaded window, whispers of fire in a canopy of ice. This is also dedicated to David, who grew up right across the river from me. Who knew we were just a river apart? You were a street kid from Glassport, an altar boy, a football player. I was an academic, an aesthete, a Latin club member from West Mifflin. There was a river between us. You expecting the worst and not getting disappointed, me believing the best and having the best prevail. Who knew that we would be two strings on the same harp? You marrying young, me staying single. We obeyed Catholic school rules, though hating them, ate pierogi and halushki on all ceremonial occasions, adored our immigrant grandmothers, and taught for the same school district for years. Who knew that we had both listened to pirate games until 2 o'clock in the morning on school nights, watched Steve Allen, loved Woody Allen, and grooved to the sounds of disc jockey Terry Lee? Who knew we would cross that river? And this is to someone in an unhappy marriage. It's called Shivering. Clinging to the shipwreck of a marriage, he lives on an island, trampling the cold sand alone. He is the forgotten child of moonlight, surrounded by indifferent seas, trying to light the wet match of her heart. This is called Winning the Peace. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln wrote an angry letter to Robert E. Lee, but he never sent it. Winning the Peace. During the Civil War, Lincoln wrote what he called a hot letter to Robert E. Lee, excoriating him for prolonging the hostilities. The letter was full of vitriol, a catharsis for his rage. Recognizing that the war would someday end, he never sent the letter. The price of honesty, high. Winning the peace, higher. This is called The Hollows. My mother died 10 days before Christmas, and it was very poignant and painful for me. I would teach during the day and then go down to her house at night to pack things up. This is called The Hollows. I hold on to the day to keep away the night. When late afternoon stiff arms darkness, before slipping into the glove of night, I walk into my mother's house alone. The scent of powdered sugar lingers in the air. Red velvet bows adorn a house of silence. I fingered the packages under the tree, smiling at a tag which says, "To Louis from Rudolph." I think of the singing telegrams and the hot chocolate. I listen for the carols and the laughter. I hold on to the day to keep away the night. The Christmas lights come on. The lights and darks are everywhere. The ornaments cut me. They're too beautiful for life in the hollows. My two-year-old granddaughter, Victoria, came to see us one summer, and she couldn't say grandma, so she called me Gimma. And she had a pacifier, which she was addicted to, and if she became upset, she would shorten pacifier to fire. Victoria speaks. Our two-year-old granddaughter, Victoria, cries for her pacifier when she is upset. In her more frenzied moments, she shortens the word pacifier to fire. I take her on the merry-go-round at the mall. "I having fun, Gimma," she says. After the fifth time around, Gimma gets dizzy, and Pappy becomes a waving blur by the fountain. I tell her that the ride is over, and she says, "No, I'm not ready." My husband says, "Just take her off." She clamps her legs around the horse, holds on tighter to the pole and screams, "Fire, fire!" My school used to have Halloween dress-up contests, and I used to participate, and I dressed up as an M&M, and I taught to his coy mistress in my AP English class dressed as an M&M. To his coy M&M. Participating in the Halloween costume contest, I teach to his coy mistress dressed as an M&M. I walk around the room, yellow top ballooning out, massive white gloves aglow. An M&M teaching a poem about seduction, surreal in the world of AP English. A student asks, "Is this poem about sex?" I say, "Sex is a universal subject." "What a scorcher," she replies. "Melts in your mouth, not in your hand," I say. This is dedicated to my nephew, Matthew, who is a fine young man now, but he was a wild child. This is called Matthew Somersaulted. One of the boys in his group was dressed in a tutu. One wore a Superman cape and the head of a rooster. Another had a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head. Matthew somersaulted, cartwheeled, and wormed across the stage. When Matthew was 3 years old, he climbed up inside a tunnel in the Discovery Zone, soiled his diaper, took all of his clothes off, left them in the tunnel, and emerged naked. He covered his body with green paint, claimed to be the Incredible Hulk, crashed somebody's birthday party, and snagged a piece of cake. The manager entered the quiet room. "Does anyone have a naked green boy?" My brother and sister-in-law rose at the same time. At age 4, he climbed up into a moat at a mall to play with Christmas puppets. When the security guards told him to come down immediately, he refused. "You don't know who you're messing with," he said. And there's one more. I started with Grandpap, and I'll leave with Grandpap. This is Grandpap at the movies. Grandpap believed that the movies were real. All trips to the theater were interactive. He would talk and sometimes scream at the screen. In the middle of a Western, he yelled, "He's behind the rock, dummy!" Thank you. And let's see, who is next?
Fred.
Fred, okay, I would like to introduce Fred Peterson.